I'm Andy Dorado. This is Furthermore. Usually we talk about books, but today the first episode of Furthermore Firsts, a show where we go back to the pilot episode of old sitcoms or other TV shows and decide if we would delve in or we would shelve it.
Hush now, everybody down, it's all about the clouds. And a hush now, everybody down, it's all about the clouds.
Hey everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to another episode of Furthermore. Today we're doing something a little different, the first in a show about firsts. Welcome to Furthermore Firsts, the episodes where we take a look at the very first episode of a TV show and decide, you know, well, there's a couple questions that that I want to answer about every episode. So this is a little thing where I want to take a look at the very first episode of a show, and I aim to answer three questions about these very first episodes. How does the first episode compare to the rest of the show? Is it representative of the rest of the show? Does it fit with, you know, how the rest of the show ends up going? Is it a good episode? Just overall, how would I rate the episode? And based on the very first episode, would I keep watching the show? Now, I really aim to tackle half-hour-long TV shows, and really I want to tackle things that I've seen, if not the whole series, most of the series. And I really want to take a look at stuff that was around, you know, maybe in the last couple decades, not so much really current stuff. So I'm going to be going back and taking a look at some older things that maybe some people have nostalgia for. Now, that's not to say that, you know, I'm not going to do things that aren't still running or stuff like that, but really I aim to look at stuff that's been around for a little while. I'm a little less concerned about spoiling anything for anybody because, you know, it's a long TV show. There's a lot going on to it. It's just going to be me doing these episodes, no guests or anything, just a, you know, quick episode recapping the first episode of something, seeing if it's worth watching. So our very first episode today, we're going to start with Family Guy. Family Guy is a show that came out January 31st, 1999, forever ago. And it is the brainchild of Seth MacFarlane, who I actually, you know, later learned Seth MacFarlane actually used to work on Hanna-Barbera cartoons, and including something that I really loved when I was a kid, Johnny Bravo, which he had done some stuff for. He studied animation at the Rhode Island School of Design, and this show was actually based on his thesis, which was a show called The Life of Larry, which is about a man and his dog. It was, you know, an older gentleman, but it was basically Peter and Brian. Family Guy originally came out in 1999, and it, funny enough, got canceled after a little while. So what I remember about Family Guy actually is that it ran for a couple seasons and then it got so popular on Adult Swim. And that's where I first watched it. Now, my memories of Family Guy are not so much watching it on TV when I was a kid in 1999, but in, you know, the early 2000s, I think 2003 or 4, I started watching Adult Swim and they would play reruns of Family Guy. And I loved it when I was 13 or 14 years old, to the point where I actually bought the DVDs of the show. And I basically made myself my own little Netflix. Now, you have to remember, back in the day, when sitcoms or other things like this aired on TV, they would air in order. They would just start with the first episode and move through. So if the show was on at 9 o'clock every weeknight, episode number one would start Monday at 9 o'clock, and then episode number two Tuesday, three Thursday, you know, I'm sorry, three Wednesday, four Thursday, you know, you get the idea. So what was funny about this show was that this and other shows was that if you missed an episode, that was it. You had to wait until the whole thing went back and redid it. So, you know, there were things that it was like, oh, I remember I loved this episode and I would miss it on TV. And I'd become bummed because I was like, oh man, now I have to wait until we cycle back all the way through. So I got around that by buying the DVDs, and every night before bed, I would let myself watch one episode in order. I mean, I just did the same thing. I started it, but I could watch whatever episode, whatever I wanted. And I'd take my laptop, I'd put the DVD in there, and I'd sit and I'd give myself one episode to watch before bed. It's funny to think back on that, you know, that I can do the same thing now with my phone and an enormous library of stuff with all these streaming services. I mean, that's all I wanted in my life was to be able to do that, was to be able to pick an episode that I wanted or just put it on. It was very funny. So I have very fond memories of Family Guy. But as the years went on, so, you know, the show got canceled and then it actually came back in 2001 and then canceled again and then came back in 2005. So I guess the second time was a little less of a cancellation. I think they somehow, they kind of called it a hiatus. But Family Guy always had a tough time slot. It never really did well on TV until after Adult Swim aired it all the time. I think at the time it was the best-selling television DVD ever. Like, it was a huge cult success on DVD. So as time went by, you know, I remember watching Family Guy in high school and I still liked it, and a little bit in college. And at some point in time, it just, I just really stopped liking it. It really did not have the same kind of humor, or maybe I was just growing out. And I think really what happened is that it got kind of stale for me. Family Guy was always a show that was unapologetically its own thing, and a lot of the times tried to push the envelope for the sake of pushing the envelope. And at some point in time, I stopped watching it. So I was really interested, actually, to go back and take a look at the first episode, try to see, like, what was it when I was 13, 14 years old that so captured me about Family Guy. So we're going to go back today. We're going to take a look at the very first episode of Family Guy. The very first episode is called Death Casts a Shadow. For a little while with Family Guy, they always tried to have death in the title. I'm not entirely sure why, but that was it. Now, right from the get-go on Family Guy, the biggest knock about this show was all the cutaway gags. Like, that was it, right? The whole show was just cutaway gags. I remember a very sort of infamous episode of South Park where they made fun of the way that Family Guy was written, that it was three manatees. Or I don't remember, it was a manatee and it was just three different balls, and it was basically like a person, you know, a celebrity, somebody from pop culture. It was a situation, and it was a you know, it's place, time or place, right? So a manatee would pick up a ball and it would be Steve Buscemi, and then it would be mountain biking, and then it would be on a volcano, right? And then, you know, they would put that in the show and the character would say, "You think that's bad? This is worse than the time Steve Buscemi and I mountain biked on a volcano." And that's how all the cutaway jokes were written. And it seemed like they were kind of poking at Family Guy and its current, you know, situation. That was in the late 2000s. But right from the get-go, this show was all about the cutaway gags. Like, that was this show's sense of humor. There's not a ton of jokes that are set up punchline. A lot of it is just a cutaway gag. And you see cutaway gags sometimes in other shows. Mostly it's less, "Remember the time you did this or this," and more, "Imagine if I had this," and you see the character's imagination. That's more when we do a cutaway gag. Sometimes there's a little flashback to something and you get that a little bit, but that's all Family Guy was. And right from the get-go, our very first scene on Family Guy is the family watching TV, but the very first thing is a Brady Bunch joke. That's it. I mean, we start with a pop culture reference with a joke. So, I mean, right from the get-go, you know what you're getting. So then there's the theme song, which was a great theme song. I mean, still, what a great theme song for a show. Big, glitzy. I mean, the music on the show is always great. They recorded with a live orchestra. I believe they still do. And, you know, Seth MacFarlane is a pretty talented voice actor, but he's got a nice singing voice, too. And he studied, you know, voice. He's got a couple albums and stuff. Very big, bandy kind of sounding thing. I mean, he always had a nice voice. So we get the theme song, and then family at the dinner table, where we are introduced to our characters. There is Peter Griffin, the father, his mother and wife Lois Griffin, and there are three kids: Meg Griffin, the oldest daughter; Chris Griffin, the middle son; and the baby Stewie Griffin. Now Stewie is not your average baby. He seems to be some sort of Bond villain. He speaks in a very funny sort of voice, and I mean, right from the get-go, Stewie is, you know, polishing a ray gun of some sort, and that was Stewie's shtick for a long time, was that he was sort of a villain, you know, kind of thing. And also there is Brian the dog. Now stop me here if this setup, you know, seems familiar, right? You have a mother, a father, and then two older kids and a baby, right? I mean, again, another knock on Family Guy was that it was so close to The Simpsons, right? But let's take a step back here real quick and just address, I mean, The Simpsons was, there's nothing groundbreaking about a show about a family. Now, of course, a cartoon show about a family, yeah. I mean, not that The Simpsons was the first cartoon show about the family. I mean, hello, Flintstones and Jetsons, right? But, of course, there was, you know, a lot, Family Guy owes a lot to The Simpsons. It is that way. Seth MacFarlane has addressed it. There's a crossover episode between The Simpsons and Family Guy. But that, of course, was another knock on this, and it aired on the same network. I mean, Family Guy would air after The Simpsons or before The Simpsons sometime, and it's very, very similar, and they still air on the same network. And Fox, of course, has had success with another animated show about a family with a mother and a father and three kids, which is Bob's Burgers. So, you know, this it's less about who stole what idea, because the idea of a family is not, you know, a sitcom family is nothing new. So at the dinner table, Stewie is polishing his ray gun and Lois takes it away and says, you know, no toys for you. And I mean, right away, we have another cutaway joke. And this one goes to Hitler at a gym. I mean, it's funny to look back on this first episode and realize, like, the things that you sort of remember about Family Guy and think, like, oh, my God, they would do this. They didn't used to do that in the early seasons. They did. They did it right from the first episode. And, of course, Stewie is the most different character. I mean, here's the thing a lot with these first episodes. The characters in this episode are a little different, of course, and I'll talk more about that later. But Stewie, I mean, he's just like a totally different character. So Peter is off to a stag party, which Lois does not want him to go to. He promises Lois, of course, he's not going to drink, which he does not keep that promise. He does. There's a good joke in that scene where he's at the stag party. And his friend, who we later learn is Quagmire, if you know the show, his buddy Quagmire comes up to him, says, you know, do you want to play a game called Drink the Beer? Peter drinks the beer, he wins. What do I win? Another beer. So Peter drinks, and, you know, in excess. The cutaways here, you start to see sort of a pattern of jokes set up here, where as Lois is telling him, you know, Peter, I don't want you to drink, it really is just a flimsy excuse to get more cutaways, right? And they give you bam, 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 right in a row. Peter says, when have I ever gotten drunk? And there's three in a row. Well, remember when you did this, remember this, and remember this. It's flimsy, but, you know, it's all right. In this stag party scene, there's a joke about Peter brings a porn tape to the stag party, and of course one of the kids has taped over it. I mean, it's funny to look back, and this is 1999, right? Somebody taped over with their VCR. So the next morning, Peter is hungover on the breakfast table, and the kids are trying to eat over him and stuff. Lois is very disappointed, but Peter says, nothing bad happened. I drank, I came home, I slept on the table so I wouldn't wake you. Nothing bad happens. Well, something bad does happen. Peter goes to work at the toy factory, which, total blast from the past, because eventually he ends up working at a brewery or something, and man, I totally forgot that Peter used to work at a toy factory, and his boss, Mr. Weed, I mean, this character, I totally forgot about that. Fun fact about Mr. Weed, his boss is voiced by the same actor who voiced the Taco Bell dog, and I think Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life. It's just very, very, very blast from the past. So Peter is sleeping at the job. You know, he works checking toys as they go by on a conveyor belt, which, I mean, that just seems so cartoony. I just can't imagine nowadays them having Peter work at a toy factory where his job is to just sit there and do it. But I mean, it really is sort of a setup for a joke that he can fall asleep at the job and he gets fired because they accidentally release a bunch of really unsafe toys, like a doll with a knife and, you know, like all kinds of other things. There are, though, as I'm watching this, some non-cutaway jokes in this episode, and there are some funny things in there. I mean, one of them is, you know, Mr. Weed says, Peter, you know, this is unacceptable. You let all these toys go out. You're fired. To which Peter responds, fired for how long? That's not a cutaway joke. That's just a joke. I mean, it fits in Peter's character. He's kind of dumb, so he doesn't understand that. And there are some very funny things in there. So the next scene, you know, Peter is at dinner. He worries about telling Lois that he's lost his job. And after that, Peter and Brian discuss his inability to find a job, where, again, we get these flimsy excuses for cutaway jokes. He's trying a bunch of different things. You know, one of them, he's a sneeze guard at the salad bar, and this lady is getting herself salad, and she starts to try to sneeze, and Peter pulls out a gun and says, take it outside. You know, so there's, again, it's just sort of flimsy excuses to do these cutaway gags, but, you know, some of them are, you know, they're worth a chuckle. But again, unapologetically so, like, this is the show. Stewie, in the meantime, and after Brian urges Peter, tell Lois the truth, tell her you lost your job, in the next scene, Stewie sneaks downstairs at night to get his gun back from the cabinet, the one that Lois had taken from him. And Peter comes downstairs, he struggles to find the words to tell Lois he's lost his job, and the next day he decides he's going to put his family on welfare. And as Peter does this, he mistakenly gets a check for $150,000 a week rather than $150 a week. Peter decides, I'm going to spend all this money on everything, to which Brian really urges him that he should return the money to the government, but instead he just buys a bunch of unnecessary things. For example, he buys the statue of David. There's a scene where he goes to, they go to a drive-thru and he tries to order 6,000 chicken fajitas. And another scene where he says to Lois, "You're a queen, so I bought you a jester," and in pops Jerry Seinfeld as a jester. And of course, lips, you know, collagen injections for Meg Griffin, which, hold on, pause for a sec. Holy crap. Did I say Meg Griffin? I meant Eliza Thornberry, because it's the same voice actress. And eventually they get Mila Kunis to do Meg's voice, but these early episodes, hearing it, again, it's so cartoony. Like, I remember that voice from my childhood, from TV, from shows, children's shows, and it's just funny that they got that. I mean, Seth Green is doing Chris's voice, and he's, like, barely in this. You know, Chris is just, he's barely a character in this. So eventually, Lois finds out about the welfare check. She's extremely angry with Peter, and he devises a plan to return the money. He wants to return the money in a way, though, that's very public, that Lois could see. And he decides, I'm going to go to the Super Bowl and throw all of the money out of a blimp. So he and Brian rent a blimp. They fly up into the sky, and they dump money out. Now, in this scene, we get a little John Madden, Pat Summerall reference there, which, if you're a football fan like I am, and I remember those two guys as a kid, it was just, you know, great to sort of see that. Now, John Madden, it's not him doing the voice, but Pat Summerall was doing his own voice in that, actually. He had an uncredited cameo for that. But, man, it's just kind of funny to see that and to think about the Super Bowl and John Madden and those guys. So Peter throws all the money out of the blimp, and eventually he is taken down. You know, he is arrested for you know, renting this blimp and for welfare fraud, and he's sent to jail. Lois and the kids are at home waiting for Peter, who they have no idea where he is. They apparently, number one, were not watching the Super Bowl, and number two, didn't get the phone call from anything. And in this scene, as they're waiting, Stewie threatens Lois with grenades in exchange for his toy gun, and Lois says, "Oh, you just want your toy back." She gives him the toy back, and Stewie runs out of the room and accidentally explodes himself with grenades, which is such a, I mean, that's a Looney Tunes joke there, right? Stewie comes in holding a live grenade, says, "I demand my thing back." Lois says, "Oh, you just want your toy." He runs out of the room with the grenade. It goes, and you hear from the other room, "Damn." And that's just straight up a Hanna-Barbera, like a Looney Tunes joke. You can really see the inspiration there for Seth MacFarlane. In the next scene, Peter is in court, on trial, and is sentenced to 2 years in prison for welfare fraud. Stewie, though, uses this ray gun, which we know is a mind control device, to mind control the judge into not sending Peter to jail. He also gives Peter his job back, and we end on the very cartoony, everything is back to normal. Peter has defrauded the government. He bought a moat for the house and all this stuff, and all of a sudden everything is just back to normal. And the family is on the TV, on the couch, watching TV once more. And again, we get another pop culture reference to end the show. So that's a very fast and quick blow-by-blow of the very first episode of Family Guy. Now, what about these questions that we have? How does the first episode compare to the rest of the show? Well, the rest of the show ends up using the cutaway gags, I think leaning on them a whole lot more than this first episode did. There were times that I legitimately laughed at funny jokes, sometimes cutaway, sometimes not. I mentioned the one about you're fired for how long. There was one where Peter says, you know, he's talking to the kids about Lois feeling like she's right. And he says to them, he's talking to the kids and Brian about not making sure Lois won't worry about them. You know, he says, "I lost my job, but I don't want your mom to worry about us. When your mom worries, she says things like, 'I told you so,' and 'Stop doing that, I'm asleep.'" And of course, there is the joke when Peter and Brian are in jail. Peter comes back from the shower and says, "They weren't kidding about that hold on to the soap thing." And they, you know, move to a different, you know, Peter, you know, presumably Peter has dropped the soap. And they cut to these guys in the next cell and they go, hey, that's the guy that couldn't hold on to the soap. That was really funny. That soap slipped through your hands, you know. So again, that really holds up to this kind of comedy where we make an expectation and we break it. That's just a basic setup to a joke. Make an expectation and break it. You're fired. For how long? You don't expect Peter to not know that fired means he can't go back to work, but there it is. The problem with the cutaway gags is sometimes you don't know. I mean, it's there. The expectation is there. They literally tell you what to expect. This is worse than the time, you know, they tell you what to expect Peter, remember that first time you got drunk? And there we go. We're expecting to see Peter get drunk. The problem is that it's hard to break the expectation because then you're just wondering what it is. And sometimes it works when you can set up an expectation and sort of break it. Like if they were to say, remember the first time you ever got drunk? And Peter is there and he's, you know, doing nothing. Like, you know, you would expect him to be making a big ass of himself and instead he's doing nothing. And, you know, that's not a very funny joke, but that at least sets up an expectation and breaks it. One of those that I think works is Peter at the welfare office is asked if he has anything, you know, medically wrong with him or anything. And he says, oh, I didn't have gas until I was 30. And they cut to Peter on the couch as an adult reading the paper. You hear him fart. And he goes, what the hell was that? I mean, that is an expectation. We know what's coming, but that's not what I expected, you know. And again, sometimes they play with that really well and other times they don't. Part of the problem with the show, as I remember it in the later years, was that these expectations relied so much more heavily on pop culture references. And it really ended up kind of being the thing that South Park poked fun at them as. It was always somebody doing an imitation of a person or a celebrity, or it really was just, it was sometimes just pushing the envelope to push the envelope. If it wasn't making fun of a celebrity or some other pop culture thing, it was just something sort of graphic or in poor taste just for the sake of doing it. So actually, I think this first episode, you know, is pretty indicative of the rest of the show. This is what the rest of the show really is going to be like. It's about the family. It's about cutaway gags, you know. But some of the things are very different, like the characters. Stewie is completely different. He gets a little bit more effeminate as time goes on and a little bit more precocious, and he drops this whole villain act for so much of the first seasons. His whole shtick is that he's trying to kill Lois. That's it. I mean, that's his whole thing. And eventually he sort of drops the pretense of that and even sort of becomes like an inventor, or, you know, he's got a time machine in his room and he makes all these little gadgets and he and Brian become really close. Chris and Meg are very, very different. Meg is sort of a spoiled teenager and eventually she becomes kind of the punching bag of the family. And Chris just doesn't have much of a character at all in this. He's just kind of dim and slow-witted. And eventually, you know, he ends up being a lot like Peter, kind of stupid, but he's got a kind heart and at least he has a little bit more character in these things. And then, of course, there's Brian, who, where some of the other characters I prefer later, Brian, they just, I just remember them ruining Brian. He's sort of smart. He's kind of sophisticated. His whole gag is that, you know, he's a dog, but, you know, he walks on two legs and he's up for a martini. But then, of course, there's a scene where he and Peter are out talking outside and Brian is standing up at a hydrant peeing as if it's a urinal. I mean, it's a lot of dog versus human kind of humor, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. So is the first episode, how does it compare to the rest of the show? I think it's pretty indicative of the rest. I think it represents the rest of the show pretty well. Like a lot of first episodes, the characters really are what change later on. But I actually think it's kind of funnier than some of the later episodes. Is it a good episode? Yeah, it's decent. There's some jokes in there that keep me laughing. It moves very fast. It's got a really cartoony kind of premise. You know, not that Family Guy was ever super grounded in reality, but it's such a, so many leaps. I mean, all of a sudden Peter is fired and then he has a moat and the Statue of David and then he's at the Super Bowl and he's in jail. And then, I mean, it really moves fast, but almost in a way that sort of pokes fun at how cartoons and sitcoms do that, where all this crazy stuff happens and yet at the end, everything is back to normal. Everything is fine. We're all good. Would I watch the show just based on that first episode? Going back to this, I think I really wanted to recapture my feeling of like, yeah, and even maybe feel like maybe I'll start rewatching Family Guy from the beginning. Now, as a 30-year-old adult, based on this first episode of the show, I might watch a little bit more. I find myself with very little desire to go back and rewatch Family Guy all the way through. It's kind of stupid. It's kind of just cartoony, and not in a way that's like very funny or really worth picking up and watching again, but more in a way of like, yeah, I remember laughing at that stuff. It wasn't always up for really a lot of belly laughs. And I think I feel like the show got better, kind of peaked a little bit and then got worse. And I think there would be a couple episodes in maybe the second or the third season that I would really get a kick out of. And then as it got farther into those other seasons, I really would not love it. And what I really remember most about this show is that I really feel like they kind of ruined the characters, and they tried way too hard. Now, Lois's character in this episode is really kind of stereotypical, disapproving mom, nobody has any alcohol, I'm doing all I can to keep this family together. She does have a little more sass and a little more, you know, strength to her than somebody like Wilma Flintstone or something, you know. But her character gets better, and then I just remember getting worse. She just kind of got annoying. They gave her all these weird backstory things that just made her into sort of this bad person kind of beforehand. And I really don't even remember, but she just, whereas Lois always sort of seemed the smart, centered one to Peter's total antics, eventually you would just end up wondering about Lois, why did you ever marry Peter? And Peter really is one of the funnier characters on this show. I mean, he's a lot like Homer Simpson. He's just a big, dumb oaf, but there are just sometimes where he's just so big and so dumb, and later on with Peter, they just keep stretching the sort of outlandish stuff that he does and can do and stories they can write around him that you kind of, you know, get away from it. Brian, like I mentioned earlier, I really feel like they ruined Brian. I liked Brian when he was smart, when he was likable. He just ends up becoming such an unlikable character. He has a thing for Lois, which is something they explore a lot, and eventually it just gets to the point where you feel like Brian would, you know, push Peter under a car in a heartbeat if it meant he could have Lois. He's so self-centered, and what they end up doing too to Brian is sort of stripping him of his talent. He's supposed to be kind of the smart, sophisticated dog, you know, and he actually seems like the kind of person that actually would be, you know, a good writer or a good singer and actually could do stuff. And every time they give him something to be good at, he just ends up taking it too far or just being a real asshole about it. And I never liked what they did with Brian's character. Same goes for Meg. I think Chris is one of the only characters that I kind of, you know, he is what he is, and I never minded it. Meg, they just make the punching bag of the family, and then they keep trying to shoehorn these episodes in later where, like, things happen to her. I remember an episode where she goes to prison, and she comes back with all these tattoos, and it's like they get to a point in this show where it feels like they can't go back to the way the first episode was, where everything can reset itself to where we were at the beginning of the episode. And for better or for worse, that's a staple of sitcom, especially, you know, cartoon sitcoms. We want to tune back in every week and go on a wacky adventure with these characters, knowing that they are sort of in the same place as when we left them. And, you know, small developments sometimes are kind of fun, but nothing major and nothing big. And I also remember an episode where she, and it's just like a very serious episode where she says to Lois, you know, you're a terrible role model and how could you do? They really tried to tackle things and be serious sometimes, and it wasn't great. I remember my acting teacher in school saying the difference between drama and comedy is that when in comedy, when somebody gets, you know, punched in the gut, they do it with their eyebrows up. And it's because in a comedy, you cannot really believe that people are getting hurt. Otherwise, we wouldn't laugh at it. In a drama, if somebody gets punched in the stomach, they might fall to the ground. The person who punched them walks out of the room and the camera fades slowly on it. And you know that person got their comeuppance and that's it. In a comedy, you get punched in the gut, your eyebrows go up, you know, you get tweaked in the nose, everybody, you know, scuttles out. And Family Guy forgot to keep their eyebrows up. They forgot to keep these characters from getting hurt too hard. And eventually, I just gave up on this show. The show also has one of the worst Christmas episodes I had ever seen. It was, I think, early 2010, maybe 2009. Brian and Stewie end up going to the North Pole where all the elves are zombies. And it's just, they had these really charming episodes at some point in time where Brian and Stewie would go on a little adventure and they had a lot of great songs. And I remember Road to Rhode Island was one. I mean, there were all these things where they'd sort of try to go and find something and those were really charming and really great. And then they just turned those into terrible things where they started, you know, sniping at each other. The show also did parody really well, I thought. You know, there was an episode where Brian and Peter accidentally go back in time and they end up changing it so that Lois never marries him. And, you know, Death was a character in the show. I think he's the one that takes Peter back in time and then Peter can see. And they parody Back to the Future. They're parodying It's a Wonderful Life. There's a lot of really kind of funny parodies at other things. And eventually I think they kind of ran out of things to parody and it just stopped being kind of fun. And it was what Robot Chicken ended up doing much, much better. And I always wanted to see from Family Guy. So overall, did I enjoy going back to the first episode of Family Guy? Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of fun to go back and see this nostalgic thing that I used to really, really love. it did not make me want to go and watch Family Guy. I might be curious to watch like a modern episode of Family Guy, like one that, you know, came out last season, and see what the humor is. But I remember it just being sort of off the wall. And of course, they introduced more characters. You have Peter's neighbors like Joe and Cleveland and Quagmire and you know, some other great characters that kind of come in. But even they start to get kind of silly and a little over the top. And Family Guy just... it really liked a lot of the time to try to make you uncomfortable. And it's fine for a comedy to make you feel uncomfortable, because sometimes that's what makes you laugh. And I'll give you an example of a good time that they made you feel uncomfortable, whether it made you laugh or not. There was an episode where, I don't remember exactly what happened, but there's a dead frog, and Peter spends, I would say, at least 3 minutes of the show trying to pick up the frog with the top of a shoebox lid. And they just animated it so that he can't quite pick it up. And he keeps trying and he keeps trying and he keeps trying. It makes you uncomfortable because you don't want to keep watching it. But eventually you just kind of start laughing because it's so weird and so uncomfortable. A time where they start to make you feel uncomfortable that I didn't think was funny and was over the top was, I believe, Brian loses a bet to Stewie and doesn't have any money to pay him. And Stewie keeps saying, "Where's my money? I want my money." And he keeps kind of threatening Brian. And eventually Stewie just ends up beating the shit out of Brian. And it's uncomfortable. I mean, you just see him really punching. I mean, the show got violent too. This wasn't the only time that they had. There's an episode where the whole family just keeps punching each other. And they get punched in the stomach and they throw up. And they're swinging each other across the room and through the window. Like, they really try to take it to a level that makes you feel uncomfortable. And sometimes it works. But the more they did it, the just worse it became, because you stop thinking, oh, these characters are fine, it's okay, and just start saying, holy shit, Brian is bleeding to death. Is he okay? Wow. Why did he even do that? He's such a lame-o. Why did he, like, they start ruining the characters a lot in the show. So to go back and sort of capture a more fun time where the show was a lot more cartoony, had a lot more, you know, Hanna-Barbera, Simpsons-y influences, was a lot of fun. Would I keep watching the show now? No, but I do remember back to that kid in bed with his laptop, booting up the Family Guy DVD, singing along to all of the parody songs. You know, I'll always remember the Grease parody with the song about licking toads, and you know, I think at one point in time downloaded a bunch of Family Guy songs from the internet and burned myself a CD, and I'd make my mom and my brother and our friends that would get a ride with us to school listen to it in the car. You know, it's like, I really liked it, and I liked the songs and I liked the parody. Now I don't think I'd go back and watch it, but it was a lot of fun going back and doing this. It was a pretty good episode. It was pretty indicative of the whole series, but I wouldn't keep watching Family Guy nowadays. Thanks so much for listening to this first episode of Furthermore Firsts. I'm going to have a lot of fun going back and watching these little TV shows that I grew up liking or I've since come to really love. A lot of things in my top 10 TV shows I have on this list and I want to go back and do, but it's always so interesting to go back and see, what was that first episode of that show like? Especially if it's something you love and you get to those later seasons, you go back and the characters are so different or so weird. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any ideas of shows that you'd like me to do or you'd really want, go to the Instagram. That's Furthermore Podcast, all one word. You can find us there on Instagram. Give me a suggestion. You know, direct message me, comment on a post that I have up. Give me a suggestion for a TV show you'd like me to do. If it's something that I've watched a lot of or the whole thing of, you know, maybe I'll get to it. If it's something that maybe I haven't watched or anything, it might not be in the cards, but please let me know what you would like me to do. Don't forget that all the artwork for Furthermore is done by Max Farinato. You can find him on Instagram at cbartist_. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm cooped up with the pandemic. Hope everybody is out there staying safe and staying healthy. And I hope that I can, you know, make a lot more of these kind of shorter, more fun episodes about TV, which is also something that I've always really loved. Thank you so much. This is Andy for Furthermore. I'm going to say, hey, keep reading, because, hey, keep reading.